Success, failure. Two things that every single one of us are familiar with. If you're not, you're a liar, and we're praying for you. But here's something that you may not have known about success and failure. Did you know that they are both fueled by the same thing? See, some of us, we all have things we're aspiring to. We all have expectations. Some of you, you want the best looking yard in your neighborhood. I am not one of those. Some of you, you want to make sure your 401k is a specific amount so when you retire, you don't have to think about nothing for the rest of your life. Some, maybe you just want to break even each month. You want to be able to go at the end of the month to Chick-fil-A and not overdraft your bank account. Can I get an amen? Oh, except on Sundays. Sorry. Success and failure happen because of the same thing. And the answer to success, the answer to preventing failure, let me go and let you know, it is not in like this self-help book. It is not in that awesome podcast series. It is not in the magazine subscription, if you still subscribe to magazines. It is one word: consistency. You see, success is fueled by consistency. Failure is fueled by a lack of consistency. And consistency, this is our working definition, this is what we're going to go with, is consistency is small obedience over a long span of time. Small obedience over a long span of time. We just wrapped up recently the Olympics, and I got to tell you, it is so cool. I loved getting to see these professional athletes do things that I will never be able to do. The way they swim, jump, play, whatever they're doing. And listen, there are some sports that I didn't even know were a sport. I had no idea it was an actual Olympic sport, and I'm just blown away. And I'm realizing I'll never do that. And these individuals, these athletes, they didn't become these athletes by mistake, by accident. They didn't just wake up and decide, you know what? I'm going to fly and compete in the Olympics. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to roll up in there. I'm going to drop my name. They're going to sign me in, and then I'm just going to start competing. I'm going to dominate this thing. No. They prepped. They trained. They didn't train sporadically. They didn't train just because they wanted to. I cannot imagine the number of days that they would wake up and not want to train, not want to eat the same boring food day in, day out. But the reason why they were consistent is because of the payoff. What would happen at the end? And for many of us, that's the same thing that we have to deal with, that we struggle with. Now, here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to stand up here and talk about consistency at work so you're a better employee. I'm not going to talk about consistency in your relationships with friends, family, your marriage, so you can be a better individual. I'm not going to talk about consistency in your driving habits, so you'll stop cutting me off on 288. Because none of that really matters, to be honest with you, when we compare it to consistency as we follow God. Because everything else will line up and is correlated to our consistency in following and obeying the Lord. You see, we're in this series called The GOAT, the greatest of all time. And what we're looking at are these four specific things, these four specific areas that if we want to be great in serving the Lord, if we don't just want to be mundane, then we have to apply these to our lives. And today we're talking about consistency. And it's one of those things that sounds so simple, but it is so difficult. So here's what I want you to turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. You see, the Apostle Paul, he wrote this letter to the church in Galatia. He went to this community, this city, on his first missionary journey, started this church. These were people that never heard about the resurrection of Jesus. And here's what was happening. See, he wrote this letter for instruction and correction because there were these other Jewish believers that were coming in and saying, hey, you guys are Gentiles, which means you're not Jewish, so if you want to be truly saved, you have to have faith in Christ and become Jewish. And, but that's not true. We're saved by faith alone in Christ and his resurrection, not of our works, so that no one can boast. So what Paul is doing with this church, he's giving correction, he's giving instruction, he's debunking, refuting that theology and that viewpoint. And what we're going to read about today here in this passage is basically Paul is talking about how should we be treating one another? How, as we interact with each other, what should this look like in our daily life? Well, their daily life. We're just going to steal it and apply it to us. So let's read this passage, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, so let's not get tired. Some of us are already tired. Let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, you will reap a harvest, a blessing, if we don't give up. I love one term that says, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in serving the community. Don't grow weary in obeying the Lord. Don't grow weary in pushing and forwarding the gospel. Don't grow weary in doing good. That's so difficult. Because consistency is difficult. And this is what we're going to unpack today. This is what we're going to kind of dig into and understand. This is the big idea. This is what you write down. This is what you text your friends. We're like, what'd you learn at church today? This is it. Living a life of consistency is living a life worth duplicating. Living a life of consistency is living a life worth duplicating. At some point in time today, hopefully not within the next 20 minutes, you're going to be scrolling on social media. You're going to be on Instagram. You're going to be on Facebook. You're going to watch people's lives on TV. You're going to watch news. And here's what's going to happen. At some point in time, you're going to think to yourself, man, I want what they got. I wish I were on vacation. Man, I wish I had that house. I wish I had that car. I wish I had blank, 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 blank. But what we don't see is the grind that it took for them to get to that position, that place. Now, again, I am not up here to talk about how we can get more stuff. That is not biblical. So let's flip it. Let's flip this on its head. Let's talk about it in a different perspective. You see, for me, growing up in a rural town in North Carolina, there were individuals in my life that when I see them following the Lord, I'm jealous. I'm jealous of how close they are with God. I'm jealous of how much scripture they know. And I want that. I want that intimacy. I want that knowledge just kind of be up here just waiting to be unleashed. But what I don't see is their consistency. There was one, his name is a guy named Ernest Beard. I've known very few people that have such an intimate prayer life. And for him, do you know how it was cultivated? He worked at night, like in the middle of the night. He was cleaning banks, doing things in the city, worked for the city. And that was a prayer time for him. He would use that time because literally there's no one else around. If they're around, it's because they're robbing the bank. And luckily, he didn't have to deal with that. But he would spend that time in prayer. He spent it seeking the Lord, hearing God's voice, obeying God's voice day after day after day after day. Pastor Kevin Bordeaux, our lead pastor. Growing up, we were in youth ministry together. And he was literally called the Bible Says guy. We would say something, do something, and he would say, well, you know, the Bible says. And he would say it just like that, too. I'm kidding. But you know how he got to be that way? It's not like he fell asleep and the Lord just downloaded scripture into his brain. That would be so awesome, but that is not what happened. Here's what he would do. He would have these index cards in his pockets. He'd have like one in each pocket with a different passage of scripture. And throughout the day, he would read these passages of scripture. So if he was going to his pocket to get his car keys, his hand would touch the index card and he would begin to recite that passage from memory. Oh, he has to get his wallet? Same thing. There's another passage there. He would recite it from memory. He would keep doing this over and over and over, different passage, until he had memorized so much scripture. See, we want what people have, but we don't want to do what it takes to get there. We want to have an intimate relationship with the Lord. We want to live in obedience. We get inspired when we see people doing great things for God. But they're like, I'd rather sit at home. You know the new season of that show came out on Netflix? Oh, I know what I'm doing for the next weekend. Who am I kidding? Today, 8 hours, the whole season. I'm binging it. We don't want to put in the work. We don't want to put in the grind to get what God even wants for us. And I'll be honest with you, it's because we're selfish. I'm selfish. I'm not going to spend my entire day seeking the Lord like Ernest did while he was at work. I'm probably not going to have like 14 index cards in all my 15 pockets that I have on my pants. Consistency. When we live a life of consistency, it's one that is worth duplicating. People are going to see God doing something in your life, and they're going to say, I want that. Then they have to make a decision. Are they going to do what's needed so it can be done? We are called to live this life of consistency. And why are we talking about it in relation to our time with the Lord instead of in our house? See, here's the thing. Everything else is secondary to this. Because when our intimacy, our relationship with the Lord, when it is on point, it will affect everything else. You want to become a better employee, better supervisor, better boss? Be consistent in seeking the Lord. Guess what? He's going to use you at work. He's going to display his glory in ways that you can't think of. He's going to give you opportunities for conversations. You want to be a better friend, a better spouse? Guess what? Consistently follow and seek after the Lord, and it will impact those relationships. You want to be a better parent? Guess what? Consistently seek after and obey the Lord, and it's going to make you a better parent. Why? Because what happens is God transforms us. He's making us more Christ-like. It's going to overflow out of us and into other people's lives. When people interact with us, when we react to them, they're going to experience the Lord instead of our selfish, sinful nature. We have to pursue consistency. I've been on the other side. I've seen it happen. But for me, I know that for me, if I want to be a great husband, it all starts with my time with the Lord. And I've seen it. I've experienced it. Rather, my wife has experienced it. And she will ask me, Keith, what is wrong with you? You seem super irritable just all the time. Like you don't want to do anything. You kind of just recluse. What's up? And I tell her I'm just tired. But the truth, if I can confess, I've been neglecting my relationship with God. I've not been studying Scripture. I've not been spending time in prayer. I've not been trying to find opportunities to share the gospel or to serve those around me. I've been neglecting it. And they pay for it. We must pursue a life of consistency. And it's so difficult. Why? Why is it so difficult, Keith? I'm so glad you asked. Because we want a return on investment. Why do you consistently show up to work? Paycheck, bills, there's this payoff that happens. And the difficulty is sometimes we can be consistent in following the Lord, but it can become boring. It can feel mundane. We may not see the payoff. We may not see the impact. Do you realize we're reading from Scripture that was written hundreds of years ago? I'm pretty sure, I may be kind of speculating here, but the Apostle Paul probably had no idea that hundreds of years later, after writing this letter, that we would still be talking about it. We would still be talking about how it can apply to our lives. We have no idea the ripple effect our obedience can have. We have no idea the ripple effect that our consistency can have into those that we share our life with. The Apostle Paul, he wrote this to another church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. He says, so, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. When I read that, I try to get like a word picture, a picture in my head, try to illustrate it. There's this one guy at the gym I go to. He is literally like the size of a tree. Like I imagine if I hit him in the back with a 2x4, he is just going to turn around like I tapped him on the shoulder. It's ridiculous. I don't know why God created people. He's like Goliath. I picture him as immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. Enthusiastically. Some of us, we need 14 cups of coffee just so we can get up enthusiastically and brush our teeth. Always work. Always, I don't always want to work enthusiastic for the Lord. I don't always, as I'm serving here at the local church, want to do it with, I'm so excited. But on the inside, I am exhausted. I'm not enthusiastic. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Why should we be enthusiastic? Why should we be consistent? Because nothing we experience, nothing we go through is going to be wasted. God is going to use it to display His glory. No matter what we face, no matter what we have to endure, nothing is wasted. And that can be difficult because as you even hear me say that, you're thinking, how can God use my pain for His glory? I'm going to be completely honest with you. I have no idea. I have very limited thinking. I am not all that smart in my head to be able to comprehend how God can make sure nothing is wasted. Nothing you experience, nothing you go through, nothing someone else has gone through, no story you've heard. God will use it to display His glory, of His faithfulness, of His goodness. So the thing we have to wrestle with as we think, as we dwell, because as we're talking about being consistent, maybe you already know areas that you've got to work on, areas you need to be more consistent in. Maybe it's in prayer. Maybe it's in studying and understanding Scripture. Maybe it's, as I shared earlier, our driving habits. Maybe, just maybe, we need to be consistent in slowing down and not trying to do so much. I have no idea. So you may be thinking, Keith, how can you tell all of us who need to be consistent in different areas of our lives, how can you tell us what to do? I'm so glad you asked, because I'm not going to. Scripture is. You ask me what I think, feel, and believe. I'm not going to tell you what I think, feel, and believe. I'm going to tell you what Scripture says. So check this out. This was Jesus speaking, Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Because the question we have to wrestle with, because Paul said, don't grow weary, don't get tired of doing good. So what's good? Here it is. Start at the beginning. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he being Jesus, said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Follower of Jesus? Yes. Give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Isn't that so encouraging? You get to say no to you. You get to deny yourself. You get to wake up and say, oh, God, I am so excited that I get to be completely not selfish today, that I get to serve you. It's not about me, and we feel good until we want it to be about us. Until God calls us to do something that we don't want to do. Denying ourselves is never fun. It is often uncomfortable. And it can often lead us in an area that we don't want to be. But here's the thing that it will do. It'll make us more into the image of God. More into who He desires us to be. So how are we going to live this consistent life? We're going to live this passage out. We're going to deny ourselves. It is not about you. It is not about me. We're going to say no to ourselves. And here's why. How can you say that, Keith? Because Paul wrote and said that for those of us that follow Jesus, he says, we are not our own, but we were bought at a price. What I think, feel, and believe no longer matters. It doesn't. Why? Because I follow Christ. Did you know that there are times in my life that I wrestle with Scripture because it contradicts what I think, feel, and believe? But guess what? At the end of the day, Scripture wins. Why? Because I am not my own. I was bought at a price, and that price was the death and resurrection of Jesus. It is not about me anymore. It is about fulfilling what God desires, and His desires becoming mine and our reality. And as we deny ourselves, as we say no to us and yes to Him, we become more like Him. We become Christ-like, that when people encounter us, they encounter Him. Here's the second thing we're going to do. We're going to follow Christ. We're going to live in obedience. Oh, isn't obedience fun? It's not. When I ask my daughter to get up and go put a trash bag in the trash can, you know what she doesn't say? She does not say, "Yes, Father, I'm excited to do this. I'm enthusiastically doing this." No. She rolls her eyes, she scoffs, and then she gets grounded. When we have the opportunity to say no to ourselves and be obedient to what God is calling us to do, we've got to do it enthusiastically. We're called to obey Scripture. Scripture is God's word. We get to apply it to our lives. We get to know God through Scripture. Because as God leads us, God is going to call us to do things. He's going to give us opportunities to be obedient to Him. And there are times where we may wonder, is this God or is this the pizza that I ate at 9 o'clock last night? Guess what? You can compare it to Scripture, and Scripture is going to confirm. God is never going to lead you into sin. God is never going to lead you to do something that's contradictory to His Word. That's why His Word stands forever. That's why His Word is true. That's why it's there for correction and instruction. We have opportunities to be obedient. And why does this matter? Why is this so important? Because there's someone waiting for our obedience. Every single time that we're called to do something for the Lord, it's not just about us. There is someone on the receiving end of that obedience. And it's so difficult. It's so difficult to say yes, but when we realize that this obedience could impact someone else's life, it makes it worth it. Because why do we stop being consistent? Because we don't see the payoff. We don't see the payoff quick enough. It gets boring. It gets mundane. There's a guy named R.U. Darby. He was a miner. And in the great gold rush, he left all of his stuff. He sold everything he owned and bought mining equipment. And he headed off for the hills. And he found this one small piece of gold. And he's like, "This is it. I'm going to start digging. I'm going to start mining." And he did. He went to work. He was going through it. He was like, "Yeah, this is it. Yep, I'm so close. I'm so close. I'm so close." He never got there. "I'm so close. I'm so close." He started getting discouraged. "Oh, I'm so close. I know. I know. You know, just 3 feet more, 2 feet more. I'm going to hit the greatest piece of gold that anyone's ever seen, and it's going to be incredible." And he never did, and he quit. He got tired of digging. He got tired of the dirt. Here's what's funny. Another guy came in and started digging that same exact spot. R.U. Darby was only 3 feet away from one of the largest veins of gold that state had ever seen. How often have we stopped just short of seeing God doing something incredible? How many times have we said, it's not worth it. I'll do it later. God, if you really want me to do this, give me a sign. And guess what? Scripture kind of probably fulfilled that and gave you the sign. There are people in our lives waiting for us to be obedient. There are people that we don't know. There are individuals that live in our neighborhood, and we never know the full ripple effect of what God is going to do if we just stay consistent, if we daily deny ourselves and follow Him, if we say no to us and yes to the Lord, if we're obedient to Scripture, if we're doing everything we can, that we center our entire life around intimacy with the Lord, because it's not about us, it's not about me, it's about what He desires and what He wants for us and to do through us. God is not going to ask us to be obedient just for the sake of obedience. God is going to use you where you are to make impact, that His desires will become our reality. And it starts with me and you just being consistent. You want to do great things for the Lord? It doesn't happen because you obey sporadically. Because I'll go to church today. Yeah, I'll share the gospel. Yeah, I guess. No. Enthusiastically. Because God doesn't have to use us, but he chooses to. God uses us imperfect individuals to fulfill his perfect will and desires so that his name can go forward, so that he can be made known among all nations, as scripture says. But I'm going to be completely straight up with you. I'm terrible at this. I am. I love a routine. I have a very strict routine that I do in the mornings, at night, and I'll be honest with you, part of this, what I'm talking about today, is not a part of that. I can be sporadic. And again, my wife will call me out on it. Like, Keith, you seem like a jerk. Why are you such a jerk? Probably because I'm neglecting my time with the Lord. It's amazing how much more loving we can be when we spend time with our loving Father. It's amazing how much more patient we can be when we spend time with our patient Creator, who is super patient with me. God wants to use you where you are. We just have to be consistent. And if you're like me, we need God's help. We need him to guide us. We need him to give us the strength to be consistent. We need to allow his wisdom to actually guide us in what we need to do. So this morning, I want to pray for us. I want to pray that God would direct our steps to help us be consistent followers. So if you would pray with me. God, we're so thankful that you've not given up on us. God, you're not removed from our lives. You are present in our lives. You're present in every circumstance, in every struggle. God, open our eyes to opportunities to be obedient to you. Chances that we can follow you, that we can hear you. God, I pray that you speak clearly and help us to listen intently. God, help us to block out all the things that are trying to pull our attention away from you. Whether it be job or people or hobbies or things, God, help us to be focused on you. Let us be consistent as we pursue you. God, give us a passion to know you through scripture. Give us a desire to spend time with you in prayer. God, give us a desire to follow after you with spiritual disciplines, things that will draw us to you instead of things that will drag us away. God, I pray you give us wisdom and you guide our steps that when we leave here today, God, help us in the areas that we need to be more consistent, in areas of our life that we need to allow you to intervene, areas that we need to surrender to you. God, our obedience to you, it doesn't stop here. God, we also have eternity. We may not even see a payoff. Paul wrote his letters, most of them in prison. God, help us to not try to see our return on investment here on this side of eternity. But God, we know we get to spend eternity with you, worshiping you, glorifying you. God, help us to keep that type of perspective, keep in perspective. Help us to keep focused on the things above, not the things that are here around us. As we continue to pray, you may be here in the room with our online campus and you don't have a relationship with the Lord. I want to encourage you today, you can make the greatest decision, the most important decision, because it doesn't just impact the now, it impacts our eternity, it impacts you eternally. And to follow Jesus is to believe that Jesus was who he said he was, that he died and he resurrected, is to confess that he is your Savior. So if you want to make a decision to follow Christ today, I want you to pray this prayer with me. It's just a way of confession and say, God, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I believe that in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I am forgiven of my sins. I confess that you are Lord of my life. I surrender everything to you. Help me to pursue you and obey you daily. I thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to do. In your holy name we pray. Amen.